Good morning. The scripture is Revelations 9 through 17. The great multitude in the white robes. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they and where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God, and they serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will lead them to the springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Amen. Thank you, Gary, for reading those powerful words. Those words that remind us of what the kingdom of heaven is like. Not only what the kingdom of heaven is like, but also when one day Jesus will come and bring earth and heaven together. There's an expectation of what the kingdom of God will be like. And what Gary read to us just a moment ago is but a glimpse, an opening. A revelation, if you will, of what the kingdom of God will be like for us to experience. And so on this special and holy day, All Saints Sunday, we get to remember. We have the honor and the privilege and joy of remembering. And so to give you a little bit of the history of All Saints Day in particular, there is a belief that during this time, of All Saints, that the veil between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of earth is made thinner. And we recognize just how close we really are to our family in heaven. And there truly is a strong bond between the church triumphant. The church triumphant are those that have already gone on to the kingdom of heaven. Those saints that Pam talked about that have gone on before us, that have laid the foundation for the Christian life that we live today, those persons are in the church triumphant. And we are the church militant. Now that means that we don't carry around guns or anything like that, but church militant means that we are the people still faithfully serving and being involved in the church today. And so we have the church triumphant, those that have gone on to be with God, and the church militant, which is all of us who continue the work of the church. And we recognize that although those saints that have gone on before us reside in heaven, we also know that they are not far from us. Today is a special day for many reasons. And if I had to summarize in one word what we are called to do as the family of God today, is that we are to remember. We remember those that have paved the way. Those Christians that have made us the people and the children of God that we are. It is my prayer that you can fondly remember Sunday school teachers. Fondly remember parents and grandparents and siblings and relatives that helped to introduce you to the faith, to introduce you to Jesus Christ being your Lord and Savior. I'll never forget that it was my grandmother Penuel who taught me how to pray the Lord's Prayer. And it was my grandfather who taught me the faithfulness and the importance of coming to church Sunday after Sunday. My grandfather was one of those people that when he was sick, even when his health was poor, he still made sure to even send his tithe to the church. He was that faithful, and he was that consistent, and he was that steadfast. And he also taught me the importance of being on time. He was one of those people that said, if you're going to be there at noon, he was there at 11:50, probably even earlier than that. But the funnier thing about it is that what my grandfather would do in church, he would really do this, that if it was 12:01 and the service started at 11, he'd say, oh, got to go, and he would get up, and he'd leave. He really would, no joke. If it was 12:01. So it's made me be mindful, more mindful, about time. Because he placed such importance on that in his life. I'll never forget those fond memories. And it was in my teenage years when we moved closer to my parents, my grandparents on my mom's side, that they would be the ones to take me to church. And it was at that little country church in Powellville that I felt my call to ministry. And it was all because one day my grandpa said, hey, Jimmy, let's go back to church. You haven't been in a while. And I kept going Sunday after Sunday. And here I am in front of you. What an amazing thing. What a blessing. Those saints that paved the way. I'm confident that some of you, all of you, I hope, have stories like this. Stories of people that have paved the way for you. Stories of people that have changed your life for the better. That have helped you to be a better man, a better woman, as a result of their existence in your life. You know, one of the most holy and sacred moments that I get to experience as a pastor is after a loved one has passed away, I get to go either into somebody's home or they come to my office. And I ask people whenever I'm doing a funeral service for someone, I always ask them to tell me stories. Tell me stories about their loved one. Tell me about their personality. Tell me about funny jokes that they would tell. Tell me about family vacations, all these different things. And it's a holy and special time. Because it's during those moments that you get to hear stories about family vacations. That you get to hear stories about when they let the dog run through the house with mud on them. Stories about so many different things that just brought joy. That brought laughter, that brought tears. Those are the most beautiful things that we can hold on to, aren't they? Those memories. Those memories of our loved ones. The foundation that they laid for our lives. And I want to be honest. I know that sometimes remembering these things, especially when the death happened very recently, can be a painful thing, can it? It can be painful to remember. Because you miss your loved one, and you wish that they were here with you. You wish that you could share another embrace, share another kiss, hold hands. But I want to remind you of these words of comfort from Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13 that say this. Then I heard a voice from heaven say, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, there's a spirit. They will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them. Heaven truly is a place where there's no more tears, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain. And we get to celebrate the joy of that truth. We get to celebrate that there is a place that is better than anything that we could ever imagine. A place that is so much better than this that we can't even begin to even fathom what that's like. And we get to celebrate that we have family, we have friends, we have forebears that are now experiencing the joy of heaven. And so we remember those saints, and we recognize that this life is but a page in eternity, isn't it? It's but a fleeting moment. We remember those moments so fondly, so beautifully. But we also know that there is so much more to come when we get to experience the joy of heaven. And so I want to remind you today of something that we believe as Christians. And so I want to invite you to turn in your hymnals, if you're willing, to page 881. It's not actually a page, but you'll see 881 right up here on the top. 881, okay? And I know that there was a typo in the bulletin that my sermon is called Communion of the Saints, not the Perseverance of the Saints. So those of you that know a lot about theology, I didn't turn into a Calvinist. This is the Communion of the Saints. Okay. And so, let's reaffirm what we believe, because there's a part in here I want us to focus on. So, if you're willing, let's say it together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. On the third day, he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So we're going to focus on those last four lines, but most especially the communion of the saints, because all of this is about eternity. We believe in the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Those are the four foundational things that we are celebrating and we are remembering right now. In the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. And so I think probably of all of those things, probably the one that's not quite as clear to you is the communion of the saints. And so what does that mean? What does that mean that we are and we believe in the communion of the saints? And so in my mind, that means two things. The first thing that it means is that Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross for the sins of the world, he died for the sins of generations and generations that have come before us, and he died for generations and generations that will come after us. That one death upon a cross will save generations and centuries of people that have long since gone before us and long will come after us. That one penalty was already paid, and nothing else has to be done. And we hold on to that promise. And we remember John 3:16-17, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world in the past and in the future and now will save the world, but to save the world through him. And so we as a communion of saints remember that that promise holds true yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And we can bring that to the bank. All we have to do is confess with our mouths and believe in our hearts. That's what Romans 10 tells us. If we confess with our mouths and believe in our hearts that Jesus Christ is Lord, then we will be saved. And we will have the same share that our families that have gone on before us, our loved ones, are enjoying now. And we also recognize that the communion of saints also means that we are the body of Christ together. That the church triumphant and the church militant are actually one body united. That although they're in the kingdom of heaven, they're still looking down on us, they're still praying for us, they still love us. The veil is really not that big. There's still a great connection. But there's a special thing that we have to do as a church militant. There's an important thing that we have to do. We have to continue to tell that old story of Jesus and his love. We have to continue to tell and speak salvation, to speak life into people, because generations and generations to come need to know. Generations and generations to come need to be able to experience the same joy and bliss of heaven that we'll one day get to experience. And the only way that that will happen is if we continue to tell the story, to remember, and to pass it on. And so let's look at this promise again. Let's look at the beauty of the kingdom of heaven found in Revelation chapter 7. Let us be reminded of these words, of what the kingdom of God's going to be like. It says, "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands." And so there are people all over the world. This promise is for all of us. No matter what creed, no matter what nation you are from, this promise is for all of us. What an awesome thing that we get to experience. That the kingdom of heaven is diversity. It's the whole world. And they're worshiping God, waving palm branches in the air, giving God the glory and honor and praise that he deserves. And in verses 10 through 12, it tells us about this worship. It says, "They cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.' All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, 'Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever.'" So they're praising and worshiping God. That heaven is all about worship, about celebrating our God, giving him all the thanks and glory and honor that he so richly deserves. Eternity is full of worship. The full presence of God, the full presence of his Spirit. What an amazing thing that we'll all get to one day experience. And so lastly, we remember that one day Jesus promised that he will come again. That earth and heaven will be one. That there might be struggle before that. But we know that Jesus will be victorious in the end. We don't know that day. It's not been told to us. But we should be prepared. And we should be ready. And know what the beauty of that will be one day. And it says this in these final verses that were shared this morning. He said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in the temple. He who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to the springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." So we hold on to that promise today. We celebrate that heaven is a place where there is no more hunger, there's no more thirst, no more crying, no more tears, no more sorrow or pain. If we believe in the grace of Jesus Christ, we have a share in that promise. We know that one day we will be reunited with our loved ones. We'll be able to experience those saints, be able to see them again, to embrace them, to love them. But at this time, I invite you to remember. Remember those saints. Remember their legacy in your life. Remember how they touched you. Remember the laughs. Remember the stories. Remember the joy. And let it cling closely to your heart this day. Let it be a source of comfort. And please know that we must continue to tell the story. We must continue to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. Because generations that will come after us need to hear it. And we need to be those saints. Church, we need to be those saints that have laid the foundation. That have paved the way. So that many, many others will come to believe. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, today, it is a joy, it is an honor, and it is a privilege to be able to remember the saints. We remember those men and women, those friends, loved ones that have gone on before us, that have paved the way, that have changed our lives for the better. We remember them and we honor them. And Heavenly Father, today we also are reminded of the promise that we are in full communion with all the saints, that Jesus' gift of dying on a cross has forgiven the sins of the whole world, past, present, and future. So Lord, let us cling to that promise, knowing that one day we will see our loved ones again. One day we will be reunited with them, and we'll be in a place where there's no more crying, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain. Just joy, just love, just glory and worship. And so, Heavenly Father, be in our midst this morning. Help us to remember. Help us to be faithful. Help us continue to tell the old, old story of your Son, Jesus, and His love. And it's in His precious, holy, and awesome name that we pray. Amen.